Well, let's welcome Carter Wedeel as we continue our preview looking at the 2023 American Association postseason playoffs for round one. And Kansas City Monarchs here, Carter, I have to tell you is that I'm already feeling bad. Sam Brief already called me really stupid already. So I did not have Kansas City having a particularly great year, but they come out with the best record. So I guess you can equally come out and tell me how dumb I am right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're not all winners, right? When you're trying to make predictions, I think you know, with Joe, I think he's one of those managers, right, where you just have to trust that he's going to put a good product out there, right? And I think, granted, you know, just to give you a little bit of respite, I think when you pushed your preseason out, I can't remember if that was before or after Chris Herrmann got signed with Kansas City. He was signed right before the season started, and obviously he's been a pretty darn good player. So I don't know if maybe you had everything going, but this Monarchs team, you know, we know how much Joe Calipietra changes the roster up, but we know how well connected he is and how good of an eye for talent he has. So I don't think I'm too surprised as far as how the season has ended up with this team, but it was a lot of just trust in the skipper in building the roster, which obviously he's done a great job of once again.
Well, that was nice.
We've had a long record of cursing teams, so, you know, it's not the worst thing to have Rob be wrong about your season.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. I love that.
You know, Carter, I think one of the interesting things about this season, Carter, has been that, you know, we saw the big bopper teams over the last couple of years, and they still put up some pretty solid home run numbers, but this is a very different looking kind of team that you have out there. Did you have that sense this season?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great observation. I think if you're going to talk about one thing that has allowed, at least on the offensive side of things, that has allowed the Monarchs to play so well, I think it's their patience as opposed to their power. You know, and I think, again, that's embodied by, you know, Chris Herrmann, who's obviously their player of the year candidate, who's had such a great season. But his best attribute at the plate, in my opinion, and I think if you asked him as well, is his ability, and it sounds so simple, to just not swing at it if it's not a strike. He can make pitch-to-pitch adjustments using his experience and his know-how as a big league catcher to understand sequencing and just hardly ever strike out, walk much more than you think somebody of his profile would, and turn that into these, you know, offensive efficiency numbers that are making him, you know, in my view, the best player in the league. And it's not just him that's doing that. It's the whole roster. And so I think you're right that it's not, you know, necessarily the 2021 team that's destroying the league home run record and just burying teams under an avalanche of offense. But I think they have been very consistent and reliable, and I can tell you, you know, when teams line up against them, they know they're in for a long night because they're going to give them long at-bats. They're going to make you earn every strikeout that you get, and that wears on you when you have such a deep lineup like Kansas City does.
Do you feel like that was a change that emanated from last year's disappointing finish where Fargo was able to come in and shut down their offense for the last two games of that series and advance?
I don't necessarily think Joe changed the way that he approached team building because of a three-game playoff series. You know, I think Joe definitely wanted to sort of have a little bit more of a clean slate than maybe he did in 2022, you know, when the team was coming off of a championship, and in this case, obviously, coming off of that tough playoff loss. But I think, you know, number one, the team's been changing so much, right? Like the Monarchs roster now, Monarchs lineup now, looks pretty darn different from how it looked even just a month and a half, 2 months ago, and definitely at the beginning of the season. And so for Joe, it's been all about just finding talent, finding value, as opposed to finding a specific sort of need that you want to fill. But I do think it does make things encouraging when you look ahead to the postseason at that consistency that is endemic with the team. Although I think there are lots of different tropes about what works in the playoffs, right? And frankly, I think if we figured out what works in the playoffs, every team would just do that. But I think we're still sort of figuring that out.
Carter, when the season began, or right before the season began, and I was asking you, you know, you and I were talking about the fact of how much you enjoy telling the stories of players and kind of interesting things that are going on around the club. And so as you've been with this team now for its first season, what are some storylines that have really stood out to, for you this year?
How much time do we have? So there's a lot of them, and we've had so many players come through the clubhouse, right? So I think, you know, again, I think Chris Herrmann is the face of the team. You know, his learning to fall in love with the game of baseball again this year is a huge story with this group. Brandon Finnegan obviously has galvanized a lot of people in Kansas City. It's exciting to be able to talk about him returning to wearing a Kansas City uniform and doing some playoff baseball for the Kansas City Monarchs, you know. And then, you know, the under-heralded guys. I think Justin Wylie is somebody who I've been so impressed by this season. You know, he's in a Monarchs lineup that at times featured five different former major leaguers in it, and he was batting second because he earned that spot despite never having played an affiliated game, which is just wild to me given the way that he plays. You know, a guy who grew up watching Derek Jeter said it was his favorite player. If you look at his batting stance, you can see that. You don't need him to tell you. It bears a pretty striking resemblance, and he plays in a similar way, that middle infield spot for Kansas City. And so it's been really exciting. You know, then the bullpen guys, we've got a lot of nerdy relievers in this bullpen that I've enjoyed watching. You know, the Matt Hartmans and the Grant Gavins, and Jordan Martinson, and the big leaguers, and Patrick Weigel and Bubby Rossman, who were out there throwing high 90s. You know, there's just so much. And that's what's great about this league, and you all know this better than anybody, is that everybody in this league has a reason to keep going. Everybody in this league has a story. And we've got a lot of those at the Monarchs as well.
You know, Carter, on a personal note here, you're a guy who was broadcasting in Sioux Falls and returning back to a place where when you were there, the team really struggled a lot. But I know you're a guy who has loved your opportunities there and loved Sioux Falls as a city to broadcast in and things. So if you wouldn't mind, would you kind of share your thoughts on how excited you are to at least see Sioux Falls really kind of rise up and be a contender this year?
Yeah, well, Sioux Falls is a baseball town, and that is, you know, when I think about the memories of being the voice of the Canaries for 3 years, without a doubt, not even close, the number one best memory that I have is when they clinched that playoff spot in 2020. And I know that that wasn't necessarily it wasn't a full season, but I think that season was every bit as challenging as any other, given the restrictions from COVID for roster building and, you know, just finding guys that were ready to go and with how high that quality of play was. It was basically six all-star teams in the league. And to see Mike Meyer find his way through that, bring on, you know, major leaguers and guys that have been with him all the way and make a playoff team and fulfill the promise that he made to Canaries ownership when he got the job, saying that he would make the Canaries a playoff team one day, and to be able to celebrate that, clinching it at home at the Birdcage. That is a really special memory that I'm going to remember for a long time, being able to sort of just get a front row seat to what that team was doing and in that finals berth. And it's great for the city. I mean, Sioux Falls is a baseball town. You know, this is an original Northern League franchise. They've been around for such a long time, for three decades now. They have a great connection to the city. And I know that when we get there tomorrow night at the Birdcage, we're going to have a good crowd on hand that's pulling for the Canaries to pull off an upset. And they're a really hot team right now that I don't think anybody really wants to face.
What's funny, they're the team making the upstart appearance here in the playoffs. Kansas City, you just expect to be making a championship run every year. But what is kind of the buzz around Kansas City heading into this playoff series?
Well, it's trying to get another title. You know, I think the story of the team right now, you know, it's sort of the same that we painted at the beginning of the year. You know, y'all mentioned that difficult loss to Fargo-Moorhead last year. I mean, I can tell you that loss still stinks for Joe Calvopietra and for the people in the organization that were around for that loss. and they want to make up for it by winning a title this year. You never know, because they could meet Fargo again in the next round. So, you know, that's what's important. That's what we're trying to say. And then, you know, I don't want to take shots at anybody, but we are the winningest baseball team in the city by a pretty significant margin right now. And we're telling folks this is where you can find playoff baseball in Kansas City, is at Legends Field on Friday night.
I think you were the winningest team by the All-Star break, if I remember.
Yeah, it's a little, the fortunes have diverged a little bit, but that's all right.
Well, Carter, take us home on this. When the Kansas City Monarchs are hoisting the Miles Wolf Cup for the third time in the last 5 years, I believe we're talking about, what happened to make that occur?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked a lot about what the offense can bring. I think the patience of the offense, being able to be consistent, is key. But I think a huge reason why the Monarchs are here is pitching depth as well. You know, and y'all know this so well as well, in this league, if you run out of arms, you can't just go find somebody in AAA. You have to really work to be able to get some pitching depth. And so we're going to see a couple of former major leaguers that haven't been with the team very long, and Ashton Goudeau and Zach Groats. Looks like both of those guys are going to be starting a playoff game potentially in this series, depending on how it shakes out. And then those bullpen arms that I was talking about, you know, Jordan Martinson, Trey Jeans, Grant Gavin, and then kind of the co-closers of Patrick Weigel and Bubby Rossman, you know, can they all hold down the fort and keep this team in games? Because if you keep this Monarchs team in a game for long enough, they're going to wind up getting the W. That typically is how it's gone for Kansas City this year. You know, when the Monarchs have allowed 3 runs or fewer in the regular season, they are 36-3. So if that pitching staff can do what it needs to do and keep a lid on offense, it's easier said than done when you're at the birdcage, I know, but that is going to be a big key to making sure that the Monarchs can achieve this ultimate goal, and that is the goal. You know, they had a nice celebration when they won the division, but I think every Monarch knows if that's the biggest celebration they have this year, it's not going to be considered a successful season. This is a championship or bust team.
Well said. Carter Woodhill, thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, appreciate y'all having me.